intention. There will be only three lectures. I'll present a lot before you. And the first speaker is Leonid Pastor from Perry Seven. He will speak on some large dimension problems of mathematical physics.
Thanks a lot for the invitation to this conference. I follow your tradition. Yeah, and okay. There are two corrections to be made at the beginning. First, that the title talk is a bit more narrow, because when I began to think, I understood that mathematical physics is too big. There are too many problems. Therefore, I decided to restrict myself to statistical physics, which is also too big. Therefore, there will be just several problems. And second, was already pointed out by chairman that I view as an honor and pleasure to be in Paris 6, but I am Paris 7. This is Paris jargon, but in fact, this is Denis Diderot. Not Pierre Marie Curie. It's not so simple to distinguish, but nevertheless, okay. this is a kind of plan of my talk. First, I will recall you several basic notions of statistical mechanics and to be more precise, statistical mechanics is too big, and my goal here, as I view it, it is just to explain the notion and certain forms of maybe most important phenomenon in statistical mechanics, its phase transitions. And, I will do it by using several models. It's a standard way to think in mathematical physics, to analyze certain models that listed here. First two are very simple and everything could be computed. Next are very simple looking but extremely hard, and I would like to discuss. And last one is it's simple looking and feasible. And if after discussing this model, I'll try to present some results and some problems that are here, the numerals. And if I will have time at the end, I will mention another phenomenon also due to a large number of variables that comes from random metric theory. It's called universality. Statistical mechanics looks not too complicated. Is a set of certain rules or axioms, if you want. Is there a pointer? No? Okay. We start usually from a very simple things called pair interaction. This is function U. It is just interaction of pair of atoms. And typical form is given here. On small distances, atoms, they repel. If distance is big, they attract one another. And then we write some function of n, where n is arbitrary integer, n variables called Hamiltonian, which is just the sum of all pairs of these functions. And after that, we use this function called Hamiltonian. We put the function in the exponent. And we choose certain compact set. Usually it is a box or a cube or a sphere, something simple. And then we write respective n-dimensional interval, which is called partition function. Then we make log of this function. The t is a parameter. It's temperature, everybody knows. And then we write this function called free energy. In our goal to find maybe one more quantity, which is maybe simpler looking, but in fact much more complicated. This is the free energy, but if we put temperature 0, it is easy to see from that formula that it will be just if you put temperature here, you'll find that it is just a minimum of that function H of Hamiltonian. It's called ground state energy. Here, our goal to study these two functions when n number of particles, so to say, and the volume, the back measure of this set, which is from d-dimensional Euclidean space. We would like to prove that this limit exists. I am making simultaneously volume to infinity and number of particles to infinity, but keeping the ratio fixed because it's just the density of the air molecules in this room. Therefore, it should be fixed. And the most important, the goal of statistical physics, in fact, this is to study respective limit as a function of two parameters, of the parameter T and parameter rho. T is the temperature, rho is the density of particles. And just study property, but maybe it's a bit vague. What is most interesting is to find... Of course. This is my... In fact, I would like to try. Never try. What do statistical physicians do? They hunt for phase transitions. Phase transitions that are the points of non-analyticity of this function of two variables, function of free energy, which is a function of temperature non-negative, and rho is also non-negative. And we are trying to find whether there are the points in T or rho in which this function is not analytic and which kind of non-analyticity we have. And one more problem that I would like to mention, you can study also the ground state, which is, as I said, energy of ground state, just minimum of this function. And in particular, the problem, what are configurations asymptotically for large n of x1, etc., xn, on which this minimum is attained. It's in particular to prove that crystals exist. It is still not proven, by the way, and there are many problems around.
You may also study correlation functions of stability.
No, of course, but yeah.
Stability and a small perturbation. If it's not complex perturbation, it's one of problems.
No, this is. There are several. You know, there are several definitions of phase transitions. One of the
No phase transition, right?
If there is no phase, usually there is extreme, there's strictly robust if you are above, if you are not on phase transitions, because there is general belief that, okay, if you take this function of two variables, phase transitions, they are somehow isolated. Therefore, you are more or less stable if you are outside of phase transitions.
Yeah. But in the study, what they can prove and what they believe is...
No, but in many cases we can prove that if you are outside of phase transition, everything is rather stable. But of course there are gaps, as usually in these cases. And, these are two basic problems of statistical physics. And just a few remarks in order. The first, you see there is a, so to say, homogeneous regular procedure how to construct of functions of many variables and their integrals, starting from function of, say, just function u. We are just making recurrent procedures, therefore it is always, there is certain machinery that works many times, producing more and more variables. Second, what is important, it is written on that slide, that there is underlying space, maybe something like yesterday on the talk of Gluskin, there was a space X in the given dimension. Here it is D. This is a dimension. This is just this axis. This dimension is fixed. Just 1, 2, 3, it's our dimensions, for example, to prove that there is a, say, the water in this room will be frozen if temperature will be below zero. It is just three-dimensional space, yes? And therefore, dimension D is 1, 2, 3. And it is somehow we input this dimension, and then we We try to construct function of many variables starting from the function of a given number of variables. And these dimensions play extremely important role, because if you take d equal 1, no phase transition at all, in general, it is proven, it is a theorem rather general. If you take d infinity, roughly, asymptotically, phase transition are very simple. This I will mention a bit later. In fact, in many cases, even if you are above 4, it's already simple. Therefore, all the life between in 2 and 3, all non-trivial life. Okay. And continuing these remarks, and I would like to mention that in many cases, the problem that's written here is a bit more complicated because we have parameters that are growing, n and lambda. And we do rather often the trick, which is should be completely familiar to people doing combinatorics. We just pass to generating function of this canonical ensemble. It's called grand canonical. Therefore, we sum all n, and instead of parameter n, which should be tuned with v, now we have only volume of our box. And instead of n, we have mu, which is called chemical potential. But the problem is the same. Now we have these two parameters. And again, we have to prove that the limit of log of this partition function divided by the volume of lambda exists. And most important, we obtain some function of mu and t, and we would like to know what are analytical properties of this function. But not too much is known for this case, which is called continuous case, for the simple reason that we have here the just variables x are continuous variables. Therefore, following, this is a dictum, I don't know, people ascribe it to Katz. Be wise, discretize, and doing that, we pass. Instead of continuous space, we pass to the discrete space, and this will be the respective physical word is lattice system. Therefore, we just replace integration. We replace Rd bar Zd integration by summation, and the standard model, most standard model among many models that you can invent by doing this passage, is just called the Spinor's Eisen model. You take the, now again, you take a compact set on the lattice Zd, denoted again by lambda, and then you put in each side of this lattice, you put a variable plus minus one, which is called spin, and then you write, oh my God, I forgot, just a moment. You write again Hamiltonian in this form. You have some function j, which was before v, just interaction between spins that are in points x and y, plus something linear, which is usually interpreted as an external field. And instead of integration on variables, on our variables, we make summation over all sigma belonging to lambda, and this c lambda is in notation just by... These are just vertices of unit cube, yes? And again, the same problem as before. This is a discrete. These are discrete analogs of the energy or and partition function of free energy and ground state energy. But the problem is the same. Again, we have to prove that the limit exists. And what are properties of this limit, particularly what are analytical properties of this limit. This is a case. You see here, I write interaction that depends only on the distance. This is obviously translation invariant case. Interaction of two particles doesn't depend where are they, just on the distance between them, but not barycenter of this complex of particles. But this comes from last century when everybody believed that life is ideal. Now we understand it is not like that. And because of that, we randomize models. We replace interaction and external field, we replace some random functions. This is called disordered statistical physics because of impurities, because of imperfections, etc. And the abstract scheme is like that. you take the same space X, in our case it is just the lattice. We take a standard thing which is called usually a dynamical system, therefore probability space plus the group of measure preservation transformations in metrically transitive ergodic group. And then instead of function of one variable, in fact, J, we write function of two variables, but the function should possess this property which just reflect very natural. Of course, if you have impurities in your crystal, of course, now there is no translation invariance. But in the mean, after the averaging, everything should be again not dependent on the distance. Therefore, we assume that there is a shift invariance, but a bit more complicated, which is well known in ergodic theory. And by using these two functions, function of two variable, function of one variable, which now display plays the role of J above and H X plays the role of that H, we obtain again, and doing the same construction, we arrive in the same quantity, but now the function F and function E will be random because we have random variables.
So TX measure preserving
transformation? Yeah, just standard scheme of ergodic theory.
So what kind of transformation
Okay, in principle doesn't matter, but of course when you are making models, you assume something very simple. You assume, for example, that this HX is just IADs, and J is more complicated. Just think about the what is written here. It is written that if you take this is just a matrix. Yes, if you take a diagonal, then along the diagonal you will have the same distribution. But it may change from diagonal to diagonal.
I was just wondering. You would say if Tx would be a shift, that would be T would be a shift, that would be fine. Also, you want something which is strongly mixing.
No, it depends. Okay, some results they do not depend. They just the general results, they are valid for ergodic case. But of course, if you would like to do something concrete and far enough, of course you have to assume, as a rule, it is assumed that this independency whenever it is possible. And you see now, by doing this stochastization, we double the number of variables, because before our variables were sigmas. Sigma, how many sigma we have? We have n sigma, n is just the number of points in that cube, and now we double roughly number of variables because now J's and RH, they are also random, therefore they are variables, not constants. And this is the most interesting, most studied now, the case which I will try to explain in that lecture. Okay. Now, what is a picture coming from some rigorous results, some numerics, some experiments? What do we expect? I take the most simple case of phase transition. There are many, which is called ferromagnetic phase transition. It corresponds to J, which is non-negative. Usually, it is a very simple case. You assume, as it is written here, you assume just nearest neighbors. You assume that this interaction is not zero, some positive. X and Y are nearest neighbors on the lattice and zero outside. And what is known is known if we, is known the following. If you make thermodynamic limit, I mean if you this if you make lambda to infinity, that means that you just have a box centered at the origin, side length is L, and you are sending L to infinity, then there is a picture, explain it on that a function. This limit exists, this is just f. This is a function, as I said, of two variables. This function is easy to prove that it is convex function of t and h, therefore it is continuous, but its derivative has a certain non-analyticities. Namely, what is known? It's known there is a temperature called Tc. Sometimes this is interpreted as a critical temperature, sometimes as a Curie temperature, because it was Curie who first measured the temperature of ferromagnetic transition in the iron, which is a kind of archetype case, yes? And there is a temperature called, there is a constant Tc, such that if your temperature, this parameter T, is above, then your function is analytic in T and H. Real analytic function. If you take temperature less than Tc and you make a graph of this function, therefore T is less than Tc, and you make a graph of this function as a function of H, then I see. Above you will have this smooth curve. I wrote no pit. In fact, okay, no phase transitions. If your temperature is less than the critical temperature, you have a jump here. And this is called phase transition of first kind because the first derivative of free energy is discontinuous. This is classification due to the Pauliner effect. The phase transition has a number corresponding to the derivative that is discontinuous. In that case, we have phase transition of the first order, first kind, if you want, because the first derivative of this function jumps, and this jump from the point here to here, just the magnetization of the magnets that you use in everyday life. And you see, that I repeat, that there is this picture, and there is a special point when you take T equal to C, the M is still continuous, but its derivative is singular, its derivative is used to be denoted by K, by K, and it has certain singularity, and in that case, we say that there is phase transition of the second order, because this is second derivative that now is singular. And if you take this T equal to C, you'll see, for example, that the if you take T equal to C, and then you make temperature coming to tending to TC, but from below, then you critical point you will have this behavior with certain index beta, and the second derivative also will be singular with index gamma, and these are very important and interesting indices because nobody has given for them for the method how to compute, and the most important thing that they are very robust. They depend almost on nothing. They depend roughly only on D, on the dimensions of the space. They do not depend on the interaction, on many particular things of your system. Temperature, T, C, it depends, but indices, they do not depend at all. These are results corresponding to infinite limit. When you make limit, everything is already done. But as far as I understand, in this audience, you would like very much to see what is going on for large N. This is called finite N effects, precursors, and if you take, for example, what is this derivative? I remind you that the derivative is the first, the M is the first derivative of F. F is log of certain function of multidimensional integral. Therefore, M is just the ratio of two integrals, each integral of growing dimension. And the statement is, if you take this particular and most important case of critical temperature, then for large lambda, I recall that lambda is a box, just a cube, and L is just the side length of this cube. There is a short critical index called nu, such that you will see there will be this convergence to zero, and key will be the same. It will diverge in certain way, and these indices could be, okay, they were first measured experimentally, then there was enormous amount of numerics, and now they are known for many models, they are known with high precision. And, okay, these are finite N effects. We see that, of course, it is completely natural if your function at certain limit is singular, therefore, in reasonable cases, you see what is going on for large N. And here we see what is going on. These indices, they are called critical indices. And this belief, proven in many cases, that they are strongly robust, allows us to just measuring something in simple cases, allows us to understand what is going in rather complicated cases. But it is a bit formal picture. Of course, it's very important to understand what is going on with these variables, sigmas. My definition of phase transition is a bit formal, but I have no time for more constructive definitions. But nevertheless, just to show you what is going on, let's make this square, it's our lambda, just a two-dimensional case. You have a square. I didn't describe the lattice, but just think that there is a dense lattice of this ZD. And these are pictures that is for if temperature is above of critical temperature, you have pluses and minuses. I recall you with our variables, just plus and minus, plus one and minus one. And if temperature is well above of critical temperature, you have small island, and if know if you prescribe, this is important, if you put on the border of this square O minuses, then inside you will have a C of minuses and the small, not small, but the order one islands, and the relative area of these two on of pluses and minuses will be roughly the same. But when you're below critical temperature, picture is completely different. You have a big cluster whose size of the same order as lambda of pluses, for example. Oh, I made mistake. I have to make opposite. Doesn't matter. And there are minuses, and there are small, again, small clusters of pluses whose size is of the log L. This is, okay, just to make pleasure for this audience, I just remind you that order Schrini theorem that is fine and then says something similar for big graphs. But in my opinion, this analogy is a bit, not too exact, because this analogy with order Schrini theorem is somehow related to percolation. Here is the situation is a bit more complicated, but nevertheless, you can introduce, when you are above the critical temperature, you can introduce certain parameter of the length, size of this dimension to your length that measures, roughly speaking, the correct typical size of these islands. And when you approach critical temperature, this island, this size, of course, is becoming bigger and bigger. And this is the most important parameter of the theory, because it shows what is going on, in fact, what not formally on the level of non-analyticities of free energy, but just what is the geometry of what is the order of these spins, pluses and minuses, when you lower temperature. And this is because I decided to go a bit further. We can introduce so-called Gibbs measure. Just I use this function that I introduced before, just sum of this exponential with respect to all sigmas, but I take the exponential itself. Now it is a function of many variables. And in fact, it is a measure because it's negative, I normalized to 1. And it is so-called Gibbs measure. And the derivative that I introduced before, it is just expectation with respect to this measure, which I have to denote Gibbs, of what? Of just of total spin. Just these variables, they are on the lattice. Therefore, sigma x is just, what is it, sigma x? It's just the function. Sigma x, what is it? It's some function from lambda to minus 1, 1. We see that the problem is a bit similar to problems that I discussed here. We have a linear function, just a linear function of discrete variable. We take its average, and we know that sometimes this average behaves rather smoothly, sometimes it's okay, there are peculiarities. And in particular, this is if I would like to know, I take this thing, it is now just random variable, typical random variable, you have a measure, and you try to prove something like law of large numbers. You take just arithmetic mean of your random variables. And you see that if temperature is above critical, if you are below, if you are above of freezing temperature, then of course, like it should be expected from our intuition, probability, etc., the law of large number, and this the probability distribution of this random variables that I denote by mu, this arithmetic, it converges to just to delta function, just a point measure at zero. But if you are below critical temperature, situation is different. Your measure now is concentrated in two points, and this is just two delta functions, one, 2 point measures of the weight, 1/2 at plus m0 and minus m0, corresponding to spin up and spin down. And if you take large n, you'll see in the first case, of course, typical Gaussian form that converges to this delta function. Here you will have some, two hump distribution. And if you take precisely t equal to t, you'll see something similar, just a function with one maximum. This is the density of the measure. But, of course, it will not be Gaussian, but it's different depending on these critical indices.
How sharp is the in terms? I mean, if you have a
it is written here.
Size,
it is written here, look. No, if you above the critical temperature, you have
how small is the interval?
Say, which interval?
Well, you're around TC. Assume you have a box of big size.
No, this is, there is written here. Okay. Look, you have a Gauss distribution whose height is LG, and whose width is L minus D. But the same is here, by the way. Therefore, okay, locally you have a kind of Gauss locally if you restrict yourself to small vicinity of this point. And therefore, this delta-like function, they are more or less reasonable. Okay, now this is a picture that I explained to you. It is a result of, as I said, partly rigorously proven, partly numerics, partly experimental. But now what about the more or less complete story? It turns out that it's not a simple story. And the physicists since long time, they are inventing, they have been inventing models that are feasible, that could be solved, could be analyzed. Of course, doing a lot of simplification, but still hoping that something left. And the simplest possible model called Curie-Weiss, and you replace your interaction. You see, interaction in general depends on these two variables x, y, but you just take its constant. Everybody interacts with everybody with the same strength. But we understand if something like that is going on, we have to renormalize our interaction, otherwise energy will be too big. Therefore, we are putting n in the denominator. N, I recall you, n is just number of spins. We are putting n in the denominator, and then model is almost immediately could be solved. This is good exercise. And the free energy is written here. And we see, if you want, Vitaly, this so-called stabilization phenomenon. You see that the critical temperature in which we have phase transition is just J, this parameter which is interaction, and we see that free energy is like that. If temperature is above critical, it is just zero. Not zero, but something which corresponds to J equal 1, no interaction, just minus T log 2. If you below critical temperature, there is something that is not trivial going, and therefore we have a typical function that is a convex function, which is continuous, but its derivative is jumping in that point. And the derivative that I wrote here has the same property. It is zero above the critical temperature, and here it is, it is varying somehow. Everything is proven here. No, it is just several lines. It is a simple model, very simple, but you can't imagine how many books and how many papers even now are made by using this model to explain some experimental results, etc., etc. And the reason is that the model, it gives qualitative very good description of physics. Unfortunately, it is not good enough to find these indices, because indices are different. This model gives indices that are, roughly speaking, corresponding to infinite dimension. Now it is understood that the model, this simple model just written by hands, a priori corresponds, roughly speaking, to very, very high dimension. And in that case, we have some indices that do not correspond to our three-dimensional world. For example, the index corresponding to this behavior, local behavior at this point, the model that I wrote here, it gives 1/2, but in the only model that could be solved precisely, two-dimensional Ising model, is just 1/8. Therefore, the difference is quite significant, but qualitative is the same. Now there is another model, which is called spherical model, and again, just because many people here, as far as I understand, they love very much the Euclidean ball, and the idea is very simple. You have a sum. Partition function defined just as a sum over all vertices of just unit cube. Now, replace this discrete sum just by integral over the sphere. These are just some points of the sphere. We have here how many? 2 to the power n points of the sphere. Now we take all the sphere. It's called spherical model. It was invented by Mark Katz in 52. It is always quite easily solvable. And it has phase transitions also. But There is one important thing in that case, which is absent in the previous case. Here we see, so our result depends on dimension. Because, as I said before, Curie-Weiss model is correspond to infinite dimension, therefore, no wonder there is no D, this symbol D, which is very important. Here again, there is this phenomenon that was discussed already here. We have a free energy that could be written by using the solution of this equation. J hat, it is just the Fourier transform of our interaction. And we have to solve this equation with respect to Z. And T is again temperature, and this is graphic solution. We see that if D equal 1 or 2, the left-hand side of this equation, it goes to infinity. Therefore, for any T, there is unique analytic solution. Everything is analytic. And it corresponds to D equal 1 and 2. Therefore, this model doesn't display phase transition in dimension 1 and 2. And only in dimension 3, integral here is converges, and therefore this curve ends up in the finite point. And therefore, if you take temperature is low enough, there will be no solutions here. And the behavior of this solution is written here again. For low temperature, there is no solution is zero because your points, it stops here and remains here forever for all temperatures below. And okay, it's smoothly varying when you are above. And this phenomenon is known as sticking of Z. Okay, as I said, these are two simple models. Now I would like to consider some random model corresponding to the case when you have a magnet, but with impurities. And the simplest case, I remind you, Curie-Weiss, it is written here. You see, I take my interaction just a constant, but just think about constant as a function identically one x and one of y. Now I replace one of x and one of y by some non-trivial function xi on x, which I assume ergodic sequence, because I would like to think, for example, that xi x just independent identical distributed random variables plus minus one. It's most important case, but any case is interesting, in fact. And then, okay, this model could be also easily solved. And you'll find that result is the same like here. Look, there is a formula. The only difference that now you will have here random variable xi 0, and you have to make expectation. And this makes a lot of changes because there are two cases, not quality different. If the expectation of xi naught is not 0, you have a situation like in a random case. It's more or less the same. Quality, the quantity is different, but quality the same. But if your random variable is symmetrically distributed around the zero, you'll see that there is new phenomenon. Now, I remind you that m is the first derivative of this function with respect to h. Now m is identically zero, therefore not question about its jump like before, it's just zero. But if you'll take next derivative, you'll see that there is a cusp. Therefore, here we have a phase transition of third order. Just because we see that randomness brings new phenomena. In the non-random case, this model written here yields either the first order transition if temperature is if h is not 4 seconds. Here we have a third transition. Therefore, we have a certain shift of behavior to the direction of higher derivatives singular. This is a... Yeah.
I can think transient C as being an independent Gaussian.
Absolutely. No,
but
you can.
What you're making is the statement for a typical realization is Gaussian.
No, this is from some mean. No, this is... Okay. Maybe you see what is written here. I wrote that, of course, if our variables are random, free energy, everything is random. But the statement is, it is written... Okay, I hadn't mentioned because I would like to discuss free energy, it converges to non-random limit because of ergodicity, because of the fact that we assume somehow translation invariance in the mean. Therefore, that means that for almost every realization, we will have this situation. And we see that, I repeat, that the randomness is... And this is a possible toy model of so-called spin glass. Spin glass is a system in which there is some magnetic something magnetic is going on, but there is no M, there is no total spin, non-zero spin like in ferromagnets. And now, this transition is a bit of similar to the Anderson transition,
okay.
And spin glass phase is somehow absolutely continuous spectrum, but it is a bit vague analogy. There is no play role here. No, there is certain analogy, but it doesn't seem too deep, unfortunately.
There's analogy, but I want again to understand. You have this plus minus, so it's n dimensional. So you can say this for Gaussian or spherical. It is what was second model of Mark Kasvitz.
Yes. Yes.
And then, so if instead of this plus minus, you normalize a full spherical.
Yes. Yes. And in translation invariant case, when there is no randomness, then everything is easily computed. But if you have randomness, there are still very many problems that I have no time just discuss. It is already highly non-trivial.
Even in the case when you took stress.
Yes. In fact, no. The problem is that if you make random case, this model is too different.
If you just get used again, local theorem may be very different. That this Rademacher average and spherical Gaussian actually the same. Perhaps constant involved, which will disturb you very much. But this is comparison of them. It is done, perhaps, yes? Comparison of this procedure going from spherical averaging to plus minus average.
Okay.
Okay, I will be glad to discuss, but... And now we'll proceed. What I did before, I just take... what is written here? Okay, it is just I replaced interaction which was x, y independent, but something simple dependent. Now, look at that as a just rank one operator. Just rank one matrix, yes? Now, let's make p rank matrix. It is written here. I take p copies of xi, different, of course, independent, if you want. And now I write p-dimensional projector, if you want, p-rank operator as an interaction. And this is new model which was introduced by several people, myself in particular. And there are two basically different cases. First, p is independent on n, just 5, 10, 20. Then the model is almost similar to that. Again, quality is the same. Almost trivial of this. Comes in the case when p is proportional to n. Therefore, I am writing here p equal to alpha n. Alpha is a parameter which is just a number, and I fix the number during the phase during the limiting transition. And it is important parameter because this model, for example, the most important meaning and the interpretation and the application of that model was done by Hopfield, who proposed this model as a very simple but non-trivial model of associative memory. And speaking, the threshold at which you began to forget everything, it is written here, 0.014. It is found numerically, but still no proofs, not at all. Okay. Hopfield model, I repeat, most interesting case, which is not too well, almost not studied, corresponds, I said, the... P proportional to alpha, and if alpha is not small. If alpha numerically small, very small, extremely small, but fixed, depending on n, there is more or less good understanding what is going on. But when you raise alpha, a lot of things arrive. But as happens often, if you take alpha very big, going to infinity, intuitively what I do, I write this formula, I replace n by square root of n square root of p, I fix p, I make, or as physicists used to write, I consider the case. That means I make in limit to p to infinity first, and in that case, just by central limit zero, we obtain that this expression will converge to some Gaussian random variables that will be independent for different pairs. And this is most famous model of the field called Sherrington-Kirkpatrick model. Therefore, it is very two models, as I promised, they are very simple looking. In the first case, you have rank P projection. Here you have just random variables, just Gaussian orthogonal ensemble, for those who knows. And, okay, this is our interaction, and I have the same goal. I would like to compute a partition function. I would like to know whether it's analytic. If not, what are non-analyticities, etc. Okay, maybe I have no time already. My time is finished almost. Yeah, finished already, yeah. 2 minutes. Okay, just to finish with, I'll skip sync. I will mention just a few results because they are quite recent, few months. Okay, there is a problem number zero in the field. I mean, because physicists used to assume that it is correct. But there is still a question to prove. A question is the following. It's called self-averaging property. As I mentioned, your parameters are random, your integral or sum are also random, therefore log is random and free energy is random variable. But we saw already in some simple models that when n tends to infinity, the quantity is not random. And it is called self-averaging property. You could just forget this invention of physics, just saying that you have a convergence with probability 1 or invariance in the distribution to a non-random variable. And this is a question somehow assumed, physicists assumed usually that it is correct. But, okay, let's try to prove. And it took about 10 years to prove this fact for Sherrington-Kirkpatrick model. It was proven, the model was invented, as I said, in 76 by Sherrington and Kirkpatrick. And in 91, we proved, myself and Shcherbina, we proved that there is so-called weak self-averaging. Therefore, we proved that probability of deviation of our function n of its median is tending to zero. It was done first by using just a very simple version of Martin-Hell difference method, which was already discussed here. And then, Talagrand took a subject and made the best possible result. And this was just, he proved that it is not just 1 over n, but exponential by just two in concentration respective bounds. But nevertheless, during 10 years, people saw that, it is simple to prove that the quantity doesn't fluctuate, but it is very hard to prove that this limit exists. Just expectation exists.
This has to do with the minus.
Yeah,
if
yeah, yeah.
Gaussian, then it would be...
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter too much. No. It's a different story. He made for high temperatures. And it just a few months ago, result appeared just 2 months ago. This is two mathematical physicists from Rome, Guerra and Toninelli, they proved that this limit exists. Me, myself, I feel myself a bit guilty because I made a lot of propaganda saying that it is a hard problem. And since the problem is very simple, but my idea was it is hard because we have to compute, and computing we are going to understand a lot. But it turns out that there is a very simple trick proving the limit, but doesn't say too much about what's going on.
So they use Talagrand?
Huh?
They use Talagrand's work?
No, not at all. Just very simple observation, integration by parts, and simple lemma from Poiseuille.
We don't try with it here.
No, for those who would like to know, we will make a small seminar later. I finished.
Okay, thank you very much. So I think time for two questions. There's probably no time for an answer. So let me postpone question. Okay, and now we have a 5 minutes break and